The Loop Loft, featuring Omar Hakim on drums, along with some other outstanding musicians. How's your workout routine coming? You haven't given up, have you? I know a lot of us have a lot on our plates, no doubt about that. And let's face it, that really can make it difficult to stay with an exercise routine. I know. And, you know, don't beat yourselves up over it. And instead, just keep trying to fine-tune your schedule. And, of course, remember now that a lot of it begins with getting our proper sleep, so that our bodies can be up and at them when we need them to, so that we can work as efficiently and productively as possible. And the more things we have on our plate, keeping in mind that we don't need to have too much on our plates, but the more things we have on our plates, the more important it is that we work efficiently, productively, that we truly, in other words, manage our time well. All right. So keep, you know, fine-tuning, keep tweaking. If you need to take something off your plate, and you can, do so. But in the meantime, how is your exercise going? Do you find that you seem to be getting, those of you who are able to really stick with it, does it seem like you're getting just the right amount of exercise? Does it seem like maybe too little because you still haven't really gotten that schedule down like you wanted to? And so you're not able to be there as faithfully as you need to, but you're getting something done. How many of you have had the occasion where it seems like you really overdid it and you reached that conclusion maybe because you worked out, hadn't been at it for months, and you decided to go full speed ahead the first day out? And maybe you were on those weights and you just overdid it rather than start out where you were. You know, start out where you were. I don't mean the last time you exercised. I mean where you were at the day that you went back to it. Rather than start there, you decided to start where you left off. And your muscles were really, really sore the next day. I mean sore to the point where you couldn't do anything. You couldn't walk or run the treadmill. You couldn't use elliptical. You couldn't lift a weight. You were too sore. I remember that happened to me once or twice when I was in high school. That is a miserable experience. And it is not even wise to push yourself and say to your muscles, look, I know you're feeling terrible, but you're going to do this anyway. You're going to lift these weights. You're going to lift them today. No, that's not wise. Your muscles are feeling like they're feeling because they're telling you, you overdid it. Now you need to let me recover. So let those muscles recover. But sometimes it can be even beyond that. You can really overdo it and even take it to the extreme of ending your life. Nancy Weindruck wouldn't have called herself an athlete in 2015, but she was a regular gym goer who loved to ski, golf, and do yoga. A regular gym goer. Three of her favorite sports: skiing, golfing, yoga. She was excited to try something new when her sister invited her to a cycling class for the first time. And within 15 minutes of getting on the bike, Nancy knew she had gotten in way over her head. How many of you have watched the people in those cycling classes? You've seen how they move those legs? I mean, they be moving, and sure enough, moving. It can be really different doing that type of exercise. And some of you know this. You've discovered that walking on a treadmill is not the same kind of movement as walking outdoors on the track or through the neighborhood. Those are two different kinds of walking. And you may be really, really good at one, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be good at the other. In order to be good at both, you need to be doing both. You need to be walking the treadmill and walking outdoors in order to be good at both. You can be good at both of those. On the elliptical, on the treadmill, doing this exercise, that exercise, but never have gotten on one of those bikes to do a cycling class. That cycling class is no joke. With Nancy, the lights were dim and the music was blaring. Everyone was in sync with the high energy, intense exercise, except her. And that's one of the things I've noticed when I've looked in on those classes. The people, so many of the people look like they're having so much fun. I mean, they are rocking. Those legs are moving, moving, moving. And they're following the lead of their fearless leader who's at the head of the class on her bike, usually her. I mean, spinning. But Nancy said, oh, man, this is too much for me. The instructor was encouraging everyone to give it your all. And she was looking around the room and thinking, I can't do this. And she realized very quickly that her body did not have the endurance for that cycling. She was on the opposite side of the room from the door. And so she was too embarrassed to just get up and leave. And she was unsure that, you know, she could unlock her shoes from the bike without causing a disruption. So she stayed on the bike and just turned the resistance down to the lowest level and slowly pedaled through the rest of the class. I could imagine where she was, though, just wanting to get off that bike and get somewhere, and just sit down. She said when she did finally get off the bike, she felt weak in her legs, but she didn't really think that much about it. She just figured it was a new class for her, and that weak feeling in her legs would pass. Well, 3 days later, she could hardly walk. And not only was she struggling to walk, she was struggling to sit in a chair. Fortunately, she realized something wasn't right, and she did a quick search on the internet, turned up a story about a 30-year-old woman who had similar muscle pain after cycling class and was hospitalized with something called rhabdomyolysis. Rhabdomyolysis, or rhabdo for short. Nancy didn't have all the symptoms that were described in the story, but she had enough that she went straight to the emergency room. Once she got there, lab results confirmed that she had rhabdo. She was admitted to the hospital for an entire week. And she said the pain was so excruciating that it actually contributed to nausea. Pain contributing to nausea. And she said it was unbearable. In fact, the worst pain she'd ever experienced in her life. Fortunately, this disorder is rare, but it is dangerous. In one study, 22 people out of 100,000 were known to have rhabdomyolysis, or again, for short, rhabdo. Rhabdomyolysis, more particularly, is a syndrome involving muscle breakdown and damage. When the muscles are injured, they release their contents, including a muscle enzyme, into the bloodstream. The enzyme can harm the kidneys, and it can actually cause kidney failure in up to 40% of cases. It can also harm the kidney's ability to remove urine and other waste. Rhabdo can be even more dangerous in children when they're pushed to extremes in sports or other physical activities. It's so easy to just keep pushing someone else. Because the person who's doing the pushing isn't feeling what everyone else is feeling. I remember this one gentleman who's a competitive weightlifter would really push people, even when they were telling him, hey, something's wrong. I'm feeling pain in such and such a part of my body, maybe a part of the back, maybe a leg. He would just say, just work through it. Keep lifting. Keep on. When it came to training himself, he may have been pretty good. When it came to training others, he didn't know what he was doing. You're not supposed to work through pains. The pain is letting you know something is wrong and you need to have it taken care of. And sometimes people are just pushing you. It really is okay, ladies and gentlemen, for us to listen not only to the exercise leader, but even more importantly, to our bodies, our own bodies, and listen to our bodies. Let what our bodies are telling us take precedence over what the trainer or the leader, the exercise leader, is telling us. Even with the rhabdo, people generally recover when they get prompt treatment, but that condition can lead to death in rare cases. The syndrome has three classic symptoms, but they're not all present in every case. So here they are: muscle swelling, muscle weakness, and dark urine. And that dark urine is caused by the muscle pigment. Remember, they were talking about the contents of the muscle leaking out? The muscle pigment stains the urine. So you can have dark urine or less urine, less urination. So many things can cause rhabdo, including trauma, drug use, statins, severe dehydration, and extreme temperatures. But the growth in exercise-induced rhabdo is getting more attention. It can happen with any intense exercise, and so we don't want cycling to take a bad rap, per se, because cycling is not the only type of exercise that can cause this problem. Any kind of intense exercise can cause it if it involves repetitive motion of a muscle and new movement being that which you have not engaged in before. Not necessarily that the first time you pedaled, that made it new. No, it's just an exercise that you rarely, if ever, have engaged in. Dr. Maureen Brogan wrote an article on the subject in the American Journal of Medicine in 2016, and she said that rhabdo brought on by cycling class was a public health concern. And she says that she came to see it as a public health concern after six patients came to her hospital's emergency room, and all involved people trying a cycling class for the first time. You notice I keep emphasizing, okay? For the first time. These are people who just, the people who are having problems with this are generally going to be people whose bodies are not ready for that rigorous and intense movement. Each of these six people had received a free class pass, a free cycling class pass. And when she searched medical literature, 42 of 46 cases that she found also involved some people going to cycling class for the first time. And she said that those are the patients that were most at risk because they may not be conditioned and they're using or engaging new muscle groups for the first time and at an intense rate. So even if you were a different type of athlete, like a runner, and then you switch to biking and use quadriceps and gluteus maximus muscles, your muscles in your hips, at an intense rate that first time, you may be at risk of getting rhabdo. So her recommendation, Dr. Brogan's recommendation, is to ensure that you're conditioned for it. She said that people who stop cycling, they've been cycling, got up to a good rate. I mean, they built up, and they were really able to go. But they stopped going for quite a bit of time, and then they go back. If they try to go back at the same rate that they left off at, they're at risk for developing rhabdo. Let's look at this some more in just a few.